Good morning, everybody. So we are wrapping up our series this morning called Kingdom Come. And if you haven't been with us at all, I'll kind of catch you up to speed. I'll let you get in the know, be apprised as to what's been going on. We've been talking through Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus, it's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And so we've probably all at least heard of this, especially growing up in East Texas. Like I said last week, it's kind of ironic that before every football game, all of the football players, most of whom, I mean, let's just be real, they didn't know anything about Jesus, but every one of us, we would say the Lord's Prayer before we went and played a football game, and then we'd cuss at each other for 3 hours. It's just crazy, right? So the point is, most of us know, at least have heard of the Lord's Prayer. So it's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and it says this: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And that's kind of where we got the idea for the series title. Clever, right? We just steal stuff from Jesus in the Bible. And then it says, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's what's referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And so what we've done kind of up to this point is we've just kind of looked at some of the different principles that are found in there in Jesus' teaching on prayer. And that's the thing. I don't think this was ever intended for us to just like repeat this as our prayer, but it's a guideline. It's an outline for what prayer for us should look like. So we've used the acrostic P-R-A-Y to help us understand this. The first week was the P, and we talked about how our prayer should start with praise, just like in this. It says, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or hallowed be your name. It's start the conversation with some reverence and respect to God and some adoration. And what it does is it frames it, right? It frames it so that you realize and you state out front that he's God, you're not, that he's the creator and you're the created. And you kind of, when you frame it like that, it gives you some perspective that, man, you need some help. And I think God is absolutely cool with that. Like, I think God embraces that. And there's this portion of scripture in James where it talks about God, he loves it when we're humble, but he hates it when we're proud. It says that he embraces the humble, but he resists the proud. And I'm like, I think I'd rather be humble, right? I don't want to be resisted by God. So that's what we started the conversation with, is the P and praise. Two weeks ago, we talked about repent. And that's one of those words that we just don't really like to hear. But the word repent, it's a cool word, man. It's a really powerful word. And what it means is to change your mind about something. So when you repent of something, it's not like you've been rebuked and I'm a changed man because somebody, you know, I was disciplined. Like I think of repentance in terms of parenting. I whooped my kid and he stopped doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing, right? That's what I thought of repentance. But repentance is really so much deeper than that. It's you change your mind about something. Because here's the deal. You can modify somebody's behavior, but if you modify their beliefs, you change their life, right? That was good. You can write that down. That was off the cuff, man. Shelly, she gives me a hard time. This is funny. I'm not even the best preacher in my house, so it's a really difficult place to live. You live in the shadow of Shelly, right? And so sometimes, like, I'll say something, and she was like, oh, that's so good. You know, was that in your notes? I'm like, anything that I say that's good is not in my notes, right? Just forget that. I'm not smart enough to think of stuff ahead of time. So repentance is just simply, hey, you change your mind about something. And for us, this is so important, specifically when it comes to prayer, because, man, we don't want anything blocking us or wedging between us and God. And that's what repentance does. It's like, God, change my mind about anything that would separate me from you. And then last week we talked about the A, which is ask. And I think it's just important to know and to remember, God doesn't get tired of us asking questions. God doesn't get tired of us bringing our requests, making our petitions known. So like whatever it is that you're going through, like bring that stuff to God. Whatever struggle you have, bring it to God. Whatever good thing that's going on, just tell God about it. Like it's cool. God embraces all of the asking that we can possibly unload on him. He doesn't retire or doesn't tire of our requests. Not retire. That would be counterproductive to what we're trying to say, right? So, in fact, there are several places in Scripture, several occasions in Scripture where it mentions this, and it says it in different ways, and it doesn't matter the size or scope of your problem. It's like big or small, bring it to Jesus and let him know what it is that you're going through and what it is that you need. And then this week, we're going to finish up with the why in our acrostic. And so the why is this. It's a word that's unique. It's something that we don't talk about a great deal, but it's the word yield. And so that's what we're going to look at today, is what yield means and how we can be yielded And so I think the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the word yield is I'm driving down the street, right? And you're coming off an on-ramp. And here's the thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you're on the, you know, you're coming off the ramp and you're getting onto the interstate, you're the one that's supposed to yield. Now, I know a lot of people, apparently, they can't read, and I don't know how the heck they pass their driver's test, but they come flying in like they own the joint, right? Drive fast, take chances, and use your tall finger. That's what they do. But to be yielded means that, hey, this is the primary causeway here, right? This is the main thoroughfare. And if you're going to get on, you got to watch out. I just felt like that was worth noting. Anyway, because we'll come back to that, all right? So that's what we're going to talk about today is the word yielded. And so when we come to some conclusion or finality of our time of prayer, I think it's important to finish the statement or the conversation with some kind of closure along the lines of, hey, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says, your kingdom come as part of the Lord's Prayer. It says, your kingdom come, period. Like, that's a complete statement, not a comma but or not a comma and. It's like, your kingdom come. And then he said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we finish up our times of prayer, here's the thing, man. Like, I know a lot of times I'm guilty of this. I'll ask for things that are probably a little bit stupid, right? Or if I'm, let's be honest, if I'm angry, I'll probably ask for things that are not very good. Like, I love reading the book of Psalms. I've told you guys this. Like, Psalms, to me, is just, it's like, I can identify with that, man. It's like, you read some of the things that David asked for, and he's asking for God to kill people. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, David, it's my boy. Like, just asking for crazy stuff. And so here's the thing. Like, sometimes we ask for things that probably aren't the best things for us to be asking for. And so when we finish asking for things, we finish our time of prayer, it's probably a smart thing to say, but not my will, but your will. Not my kingdom come, but your kingdom come. Not everything that I want, but everything that you want. And so that's the heart of yielding. It's not what I want, it's what you want. It's not what you want, but it's what God wants. Here's another kind of variation of that. It's not in the time that I want it to happen, but it's in the time that I think that you see fit for it to happen, right? Because, man, we get so frustrated with this timing thing. Like, time irritates me, and I know it probably irritates you because we're very impulsive, and we're very, you know, we're the convenience microwave generation, and we want it now. Am I the only one that's impatient? And here's the thing. Like, I think God is kind of funny. I think he's got a bit of a sense of humor. And I think the more you rush him, the slower he goes. That's just my opinion. That may not be biblical, but don't try it, right? And so it's not my timing. It's not exactly when I think you should have it done, God, but it's your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your timing, your ways are so much higher than my ways, and your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. So if it's not happening in the timing that I think it should happen, I trust that there's a reason for it, right? And it's not even, here's another one, it's not in the exact method that I think that it should be done. Because sometimes I got this really good plan of how I think God should do things, right? This is what I want to happen in my life, and here are the ways that I think you should do it. Here's my 5-year plan and all the business details, right? And I give God the business. But the reality is, God doesn't work how I work, and thank God he doesn't, right? Thank God that he has enough wisdom to take my ideas out of the equation most of the time, because otherwise it would be a fiasco. And so that's what yielding is about. It's, man, it's not my ways, but it's your ways. It's not my timing, but it's your timing. It's not my methods to get to the end or that same conclusion. It's your method. However you want to do this, do it. However you want, whatever timing you want to do this in, do it. Whatever you want to do in my life, your kingdom come. And then there's the other part of the equation as far as prayer is concerned. When it doesn't happen, like when the things that we pray for, when they don't happen, because this has probably never happened to you, but it's probably, I mean, I know it's happened to me, but you guys, y'all are much more efficient prayers than I am. But I've prayed for things and they didn't happen. And so when I do that, when we pray for things, you can do one of two things. You can get real bitter and real faithless and start to increase in your doubt, or you can say, your kingdom come. Or you can in humility accept the fact that you don't know everything and you don't see everything and you don't understand everything, and God is probably working some kind of masterful plan out in your life, and you've got to embrace that. Your kingdom come. And I think that's a hard place to live when the prayer or the thing that you're asking for, it doesn't happen. Not just like not now, but no, right? Because sometimes no is what we hear, and sometimes no is what we need to hear, right? If you're a parent, like, I encourage you, just say no to your children sometimes. Man, you don't talk about building character, right? That's good, because we got too many kids walking around that have never heard the word no, and they're entitled, and they feel like they deserve everything and anything, and what they deserve is a butt whooping, but that's another story. Ooh! Sometimes, man, we tell our kids no just for fun. Like, make it a game. It's a sport. Like, go ahead and, like, make predictions beforehand what their response is going to be, and whoever's closer wins, right? Shelly's like, I think they're going to be upset. I think they're going to, you know, be embarrassed or whatever the case, and just try to, like, more specifically pinpoint the emotion, and whoever wins has to buy dinner for the other person or something. I don't know. Have some fun with it. But say no. Where did we get off on that? Sometimes the answer's no. Right, and I can't explain that, like, because I'm really bad about this, to be honest with you. Shelly's a much better parent than I am. It's hard for me to say no. Like, I want my kids to have anything and everything that I didn't have. I want them to have even better lives than I had as a kid. And so it's really hard for me. And my son, like, he knows this. He's picked up. He's like prey. I'm the prey. He's the predator, right? And he's, like, figured out my weakness, and he's going to, like, attack my weakness and understand that, man, I'll do just about anything for my kids. Thank God Shelly's there. It's like, nope. And so sometimes the answer is just no. And I think that we've got to learn to accept that. We've got to learn to embrace that. We've got to learn to say that even if I don't understand why the answer is no, even if I've prayed for somebody to be healed and they're not healed and they pass on or die, or even if I've prayed for somebody to you know, something great to happen in somebody's life and just the opposite happened, sometimes things happen that I can't explain and you can't explain, but your kingdom come. Because I can guarantee you, and you've seen on the other side of this, with the privilege of hindsight, like when you've gone through circumstances and situations and you get through it, you always see how God is working. And you didn't understand it at the time, right? It's like you don't ever know that you're in a mess when you're in the middle of a mess, right? You just don't, you can't see past so many of the things that you're going through. And so when you get to the other side of it, you get to see that God was working. And so when you're in the mess, your kingdom come. Just trust that his plan is at work in your life, right? So the word yield, it simply means, by definition, it means to relinquish, that's an easy word for me to say, relinquish possession of something, to give something up. So when you relinquish possession of something or you give something up, you're yielding. And I think the specific thing that we're relinquishing or giving up is control, right? And man, that's a hard place to live. Because how many of you like to be in control? I'd put all of them up if I could, right? I love to be in control. You like to be in control of your life. You like to be in control of your schedule. You even like to be in control of other people. Let's be honest. But we can't be in control, right? We can't be completely. Obviously, you can control certain parts of your life. But at the end of the day, God is the one that has to be in complete control. There's this expression, this term that's used to describe God, and it's the word sovereign. And it's, at the end of the day, he is the one that it completely understands all, holds all together, is in complete control of everything that is, was, and ever will be, right? So what we've got to do is relinquish control to him. And this is not an easy thing, right? Let's not talk about this as if it's something that's simple to accomplish or to do. And so it's just a realization of and a statement to God that, hey, God, I'm not in control. I'm placing control in your hands, and your kingdom come, right? Your will be done. And whatever you want to do in my life, I trust that in your sovereignty, you're going to make the right decisions with my life, right? You're going to do for me what's best for me. You're going to do for me what I can't do for myself. Your kingdom come in my life. And so what's so great about this principle is it's not one that Jesus just taught and talked about, but it's one that he lived out, right? Because there's a lot of lip service in the world that we live in. People tell you to do one thing, and then they do quite the opposite, and then we're just like, hold up, right? That's the state of being of coaches, right? Have you ever noticed this? Like, this one's funny to me. I always had coaches in high school. They were just like, run. I'm like, you run, fatty? Like, put the biscuits down and hit the track, homie. And we have a world full of coaches, right? Like, everybody's a coach. Everybody's, like, telling us what to do when they themselves aren't doing the thing that they're telling us to do. And what we need is somebody like Jesus that didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. So this is what we get to see, is this principle not just talked about and taught, but lived out. So in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 42, you see this lived out in the most trying and difficult time of Jesus' life. And this is what it says. And it says, he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And this is when Jesus is about to be handed over and go through all of the suffering that he went through and ultimately be crucified. It says, so he came out, proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. Verse 40 says, when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down, and he began to pray. And this is where we're going to focus at today. It says, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. None of us will ever face a situation as difficult as the one that Jesus was about to go through. Like, not even close, man. Not even near the degree of suffering and consequence that he was about to experience. And he didn't just talk about yielding, he lived it, right? He said, Father, if this thing can, man, if there's another way to accomplish this, let's go that route, right? Like, if there's another way to save the world, plan B sounds good. But not my will, but your will be done, right? Whatever you want to do, if you want to use me to save the world, my God, let's do it. And if there's suffering in it for me, and there's this difficult, trying season in it for me, then your will be done. God, not what I want, but what you want, let that be done. Your kingdom come. And our circumstances and situations will never be this dire. And we still struggle with it, right? I still struggle with it. Sometimes, we this is what we do. I think we yield juke people. We yield juke God. We're like, hey, God, I'm going to give you control. And then we give him control until we hear what the decision is. And we're like, oh, I'm going to take those reins back. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And so there's a couple of things about this passage that jump out to me. The first thing is in verse 39, it says this. He came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives. Now, why do you think he went there? To do what he was about to do, to pray. It's something that he did regularly, right? As was his custom, this is something that he does regularly. And I think it's just an emphasis. We talked about a few times kind of throughout this series that Jesus didn't just talk about it, but he modeled it. And if Jesus, the Son of God, took time to pray, maybe it emphasizes to us the importance that we should take time to pray. So that's the first thing that I thought jumped out. And then in verse 42, it perfectly captures the essence of yielding, right? Like, man, God, whatever, literally whatever you want is now what I want. God, maybe I've got these ideas of ways that I think we could work this out, but if my ways aren't good enough, your ways are, right? And so I think that's what Jesus ultimately said. And as we know, it wasn't just lip service. He didn't just say, God, whatever your will is, that's what I want, but he actually followed through with the yield, right? We know, we understand now that he went through all of the suffering and the crucifixion and all the things that he went through because he was yielded. It may not have been in, you know, if he got to write the story himself, he's like, I'm a king, right? I'm going to come down here. I'm going to set up a kingdom. I'm going to have some thrones. Somebody's going to fan me and feed me some grapes. It's just a fantasy I have. I'm sorry. But he chose instead to accept and embrace the plan that God had for him. So that's what's so important for us, is to follow through with the yielding process. So we're going to look at kind of what this looks like, some ways to yield. Sometimes, like I said before, I think we juke yield. I think we're like, okay, God, whatever you want to do in my life, man, I'm down, I'm for it, let's go. And then you kind of start to see the plan unfold, and you're like, oh, never mind. I ain't going to be able to do that. Because sometimes, like, let's just be honest, according to the standards that we live by in society and the world, sometimes God's plan isn't as beneficial for you now as it is to do it your way, right? And so I tell people all the time, like, you know, I just assumed going into ministry that I was going to make a lot of money. right? So there's if I'm doing things my way and I wanted to make a lot of money and I wanted to be very wealthy, there are a lot better things to be doing than starting a church. Because the church doesn't give you money. The church takes your money, right, for me personally. And so there's options here, right? You can say, oh, this is my plan. This is what I want to do. And then, or you can follow through and yield with what it is that God wants you to do. And there's always going to be a tension. There's always going to be a pull to do the things that you want to do. And you just got to choose to yield. You can't yield juke, right? Okay, God, I'm going to do, oh, never mind, right? When the next best offer comes along, because that's the world that we live in. Like, we live in a world that somebody is faithful until the next opportunity comes along, and then you've become a stepping stone for them to get to wherever they're trying to go. But that's another story, right? Just don't yield juke. It's similar to a husband and a wife going to dinner. You've done this, right? So the wife is like, I don't care where we eat. You pick. Will you just stop lying? Like, you know lying is wrong, right? You know it's wrong, and for some reason, you continue to do it. Not my wife, but everybody else's wives, right? And so the husband and wife, the plan is we're going to go out for dinner, and she's like, I don't care where we go, you pick. And then the husband picks, and she's like, anything but that. Anything but that specific restaurant that you picked, right? So you're like, okay. Well, what about, name it. Oh, and that style of food. I don't want American tonight. So then you wiped out a specific restaurant. Now you've wiped out a specific genre. And before you know it, you're just frustrated. And you're like, you pick. I'm sick of it, right? When I said it, like, Shelley's actually the one that would do this. She would never do this specific thing. And it's funny because that's hilarious that we talk about that, sort of. It's a little bit of a frustration, too. But we do the same thing to God, right? It's like, hey, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. You pick. Until he picks. And we're like, ooh, except for that. Anything but that one thing that you just picked. Right? And man, I am guilty of this. And I suspect that you're probably guilty of this. And so I think it's just important that, hey, when you make this decision to be yielded, follow through. Like, don't just give God lip service. Like, if you say you're going to do something, do something. And man, I'm the worst. Like, maybe I'm overly ambitious in prayer, but it's like when I'm praying, I'm like telling God all these awesome things I'm going to do. And I'm like, oh, what did I do? Over promise and under deliver every time. So I think let's just at least put forth the effort to yield, right? And so follow through with your yielding. And I just kind of think about this idea of yielding and how rewarding it must be and feel to God when we trust him enough to yield and trust, and kind of embrace his plan and whatever it is that he wants for us. And so I kind of, again, thinking as a parent, when your kids trust you enough to do what you ask them to do, man, that's a good spot to be, right? Like, even if they don't know everything that's going on, maybe they're just completely out of the loop, maybe they're really confused, or maybe they're even a little bit afraid of the thing that you ask them to do, but they do it anyway because they trust you, right? And that's the idea of being yielded. It's like, hey, I may not have all of the answers. I may not have everything figured out and all the ducks in a row and everything lined up, and I may be a little bit afraid of what is to come, but God, I trust you, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's being yielded. So that's one way that we can yield better, is to follow through. Another one that I was thinking about, just kind of to reinforce this idea, is to learn to listen, which is something that societally we don't do a fantastic job of. It's a good reminder that we have two ears and one mouth, right? Two ears and one mouth. So, do the percentages on that, right? 66% of the time, maybe, we should listen. 33% of the time, we can talk. So another way that we can learn to yield is to learn to listen. And this is one of those, when you say, man, I really feel like God is telling me something else, people start to look at you like you are crazy, right? We've got a new puppy, and so puppies, they look at you like this, right? And so when you say something to somebody along the lines of, yes, I really feel like God is leading me to, and they're like, woo, fruits, nuts, and flakes, granola bars. You know what I mean? Like, they think you're crazy. But what's funny is it's a very biblical thing. Like, over and over and over in Scripture, you get these ideas presented to you that God wants to speak to us. And he does. We just don't listen. for the most part, like we're either so busy that we don't listen, or we're not trained to listen, or we just don't take the time to listen. And I think it's important to listen. And if we learn to listen, we can be better yielded. Like, how are you going to know what to do if you haven't listened for the instructions? Just the thought. And so learning to listen is really important. You find over and over in Scripture that God wants to and does speak to us. It's just a matter of whether we're listening or not. So he speaks to us in so many different ways. I've never had an experience like this. If you've had an experience like this, I think you're a little crazy, but that's fun. Like where God audibly speaks to you, like, you know, so-and-so. I wonder what God's voice sounds like. Man, I bet it's better than James Earl Jones or Morgan. It's like James Earl Jones and Morgan Freeman combined with like a little more bass and a little more. It's a struggle. It is. And so God, he speaks to us in a variety of ways, but it's not like, you know, again, this audible voice of God telling you to do this or telling you to do that. There's a passage in the Old Testament where it talks about God was trying to talk to a prophet. And so, you know, this massive earthquake came and this you know, these very noisy and loud things were happening. And God's voice wasn't in that, but his voice was in this very still, small voice, in a whisper, right? And so sometimes God speaks to us like these impressions that he puts on our heart, like these subtle things that happen, and you can look back and you see, man, where else would that come from, right? Sometimes I think it's important to cite the source. Like, what else would be the source of that kind of information or that kind of inspiration? It's God speaking to us. Sometimes he speaks to us through his word. His word, it talks about how his word is living and active. And so when we read God's word, it can speak to us. It can inspire us. It can motivate us. It can convict us. It can challenge us. He speaks to us. We've just got to listen to it, right? Sometimes he uses other people to speak to us. We were one of our volunteer couples, a couple that volunteers, however you say that, right? They were telling us this morning over the weekend how God had used another person to really reassure them of his love for them and his faithfulness to them. Like, God spoke to them through somebody else's actions. And God can do that. He speaks, but it's just a matter of whether or not we listen, right? Sometimes he speaks to us with these stirrings in our hearts that can't be denied, right? Have you ever had, man, I've had seasons in my life where I'm just so inspired or motivated or passionate or disturbed. And there's no other explanation except that it's God speaking to me and there's something that I've got to do about it, right? And the thing that I've got to do about it is yield. Got to yield to what it is that he wants me to do. And that's, there was a time in my life when we started, before we started Motion Church, I would stay up. This is probably going to be one of those, like, stop crying, you moron moments, right? Like, because the church just means, it means more than the world to me, right? So before we started the church, for the two or three years before we actually started Motion Church, I was broken, man. I was just in this weird, weird, weird spot. I didn't sleep. I would stay up till 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, and it's not that I was just trying to be, you know, super prayerful or, you know, read and study and all of that stuff. It's just I couldn't sleep, man. I was weird, just in a weird spot. Have you ever been anything like that? Hard to explain, but it's like God was doing something in me, and I wasn't yielding to it yet, right? And so I was miserable, absolutely miserable. And so for months on end, like, there was just battle and conflict inside of me, and it was like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not doing it. And that was a hard place to live. And so finally, when we started the church, it was like things started to change, and it's like the brokenness leaves and the fulfillment comes. And so the point of all of that was, there is a lot of fulfillment, there is a lot of purpose, and it's a connection to your purpose when you yield. That's a freebie. That wasn't in the notes. Must have been good, right? So to hear, we just have to listen. And if we listen, then we can yield. Because if you don't know the instructions, you don't know what to yield to. And so many times we treat prayer like a monologue, like where we just rattle off anything and everything that's on our hearts. And that's okay to a degree. But then, how are you going to know what the answer is if you never take time to listen to the answer of the questions that you're asking? And so there's this word that's used in Scripture. It's sometimes used interchangeably with the word prayer, and the word is meditation. And so I think you can use this idea of just like stopping and thinking. And the word meditation is deep, concentrated thinking. And so it says in Psalm chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but or stands in the seat of the scornful, and on and on and on. But then it follows up with, but his law, or his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. And it's just this idea of like, man, we think about God and we think what it is that he's saying to us and we think of what our response to that should be. And so just thinking, stop the talk, stop the chatter, just stop and listen. And then we can yield, right? So there's this idea of meditation and stop talking and listen. And then you'll know better how to yield because you know what the instructions are, right? And so I think this morning, I just want to wrap up with kind of this idea of stopping the hustle, stopping the bustle, right? Stopping anything and everything that would be an interruption to you listening. And I don't want to just talk about it. I want to do it. This morning, I want to take just 2 minutes. Shelly's going to come up and play, and it's just going to be real quiet. The music's going to play, and I want you to think, because you know what you're going through. Like, you know what it is that you need to happen in your life. You know what it is that you've been praying for, and you don't know what the answer to that prayer is. But I also think that we probably haven't listened. And so this morning, let's just take 2 or 3 minutes and just close our eyes and focus on God and listen to what it is that he has to say to us. Amen. God, I pray for anybody in the room this morning, God, that they're looking for some answers. And maybe they've been praying for something that just hasn't happened in the way they think it should happen or the time they think it should happen. God, I pray that you would let them see and understand that your ways are higher, your thoughts are higher. You see in full, they see in part. And that they could embrace this idea, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I also pray that you would help each and every one of us to hear what it is that you would say to us. God, I believe that there are people in this room this morning, God, that you just want to tell them that you love them, that you're proud of them. God, I think there are other people that need to know that they're forgiven. Stop walking in shame. Maybe some others, God, that need to know, God, that you are concerned about the situation that they face. And they feel alone, but they're not alone. That you're with them, always. Wherever they go, whatever they face, you're there. Whatever it is, God, that each and every one of us need to hear, whatever it is that each and every one of us you're trying to say to us, God, I pray that we would just listen this morning. Jesus, we absolutely love you. Thank you so much for all that you do, all that you've done, and all that you've promised to do. It's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.